Silver Hill, Alabama. This is The Outside Gate with Steve Hall on the L4 Media Network, where we talk US Moto and anywhere the conversation goes. On the show today from Phoenix Honda, we have Heath Harrison. How are you, dude?
Yeah, doing well. Just winding down the day here in the US. And yeah, good morning to you guys, I guess, right? So
yeah, cheers, man. Cheers, yeah. That's the way. Hey, so Phoenix, man, there's you've had a rough trot with injuries and illness, man. I'm assuming still that Cullen Park is still out for the season. There's no
So Cullen's still out for the season for Supercross, but he's actually got released to ride like a corner track and stuff. So I'm actually taking a 450 down to him this weekend. I'm going down to do an area qualifier myself at WW Ranch. So, taking a bike down to him. He's going to start on a corner track next week and then just start gearing up for outdoors come May. And then unfortunately, Dylan's still dealing with some sicknesses and maybe a little bit of Epstein-Barr or whatever. So I think he actually rode today just on outdoors, just seeing how his body feels and how that's going. And hopefully he gets back for the last three, maybe four Supercrosses. But if not, then, yeah, we'll just gear up for outdoors with him as well. And both guys will be 450 outdoors. So we're excited. Dylan's obviously, I guess, shines in outdoors, I guess everybody likes to think. So,
yeah.
And then Cullen does well also on the 450. So it'd be cool having both guys out there and getting back to it, getting back to the races.
Yeah, cool, man, cool. Is Dylan still in California?
Nope, he's in Florida. So he only stayed in California for the first, I think it was five Supercrosses, whatever it was, until the series came back east. So then once it came back east, he came back to Florida as well.
Okay, yeah. So you're all there. Yeah, cool, man.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Do you have much to do with the Arena Cross with KP?
So about the same amount as I have to do with the Supercross side. So, I do that. And then also we have the off-road side with, like the GNCC guys, but yeah, so it was cool. KP wrapped up his fifth championship this past weekend in Vegas. So that was cool. He had a lot of adversity this year. Brees was riding really well all year and, really gave KP a fight. So it was cool for the series that both those guys were able to race aggressively, but clean and no major drama. That series has kind of lacked that, I feel, and since when it was Amsoil Arena Cross in 2018, I believe, like the Chris Blows, Jacob Hayes, those days. It was cool for Brees and KP to be able to slice and dice a little bit. And yeah, it was exciting. Fortunately for us, KP was able to wrap up the championship. I think he ended up winning by 5 points. So came right down to the final main. It was exciting, cool for KP, and probably one of the most special ones, I would like to think.
Yeah, especially, you know, obviously, you know, he tied Budman's record.
Yeah.
And, so now out for out to break Budman's record next year.
Yeah, exactly. Right? So that's the plan for next year if everything keeps going as it should. And man, that'd be cool as a team to be able to do that. So that record's obviously been held for a long time. So hopefully it can be held for just as long if KP's able to break it.
Yeah. Well, I reckon Budman is, he's be about exactly the same age as me. Cause he was, just thinking of the bikes he rode at the ages and that sort of thing. Yeah. I remember he was the star on the RM80 when I was wishing I had an RM80. So about the same age as me. Yeah, cool, man. Cool. That's good. So yeah, real highs and lows for Phoenix. And what about how are the GNCC guys going?
They're going okay. They're having obviously their highs and lows as well. Rui Barbosa is coming off of a torn Achilles from late in the year last year, so he's still trying to get his joints back going and stuff, but he's been able to line up at every race this year. He's getting better every race. I think he's sixth in the points now, and then Cody Barnes is fifth, I believe, in points in XC2.
They're both in XC2, are they?
Both of them are XC2, and then with Mike Witowski's XC1. So, it's been a big step for Mike to jump up to XC1. He's dabbled in a few in the past, but this is his first full season in it. It's obviously same as 250 Supercross, jump into the 450 class, whole different ball game, bigger bike, just a lot more to handle. You know, it's more pressure, I guess, from the start of the race and everything. So, no, Mike's been handling it well, improving each race as well. So, yeah, we're just feel like we're just building everywhere on Phoenix. Just everybody's getting better and better, and it's cool to see the teams getting better, and it's exciting. It's an exciting time to be a part of Phoenix. So.
You've been with Phoenix. Have you been there like basically since you stopped, since you retired as a pro rider?
So,
You straight there?
I actually rode. So David Eller, the team owner, managed or ran or owned the when it was Ty Lube Arena Cross in 2018. So I actually rode for David that year in Arena Cross, and then 2019 I wanted to go back in Supercross, and that was before Phoenix got into Supercross. So I went out on my own, and David helped me as a like just as a privateer, whatever. And then that was my last year racing, was 2019. And then from then on, I've been with Phoenix as on like the working side mechanic, now team manager, and doing the Loretta stuff just for fun in the summer. So it's gonna
Cool,
be cool
man.
this year for me with having Dylan and Cullen and stuff to be able to. They're obviously both doing outdoors, like I said. So to be able to ride with those guys, and hopefully it amps me up a bit more for Loretta. So.
Yeah, man. That's some good good training partners there, man.
Yeah, for sure.
Funny story, man. I met Dylan very briefly, just fist bump,
Yeah.
At Elsinore in January. So yeah, which is
Oh, nice.
oh, I went over my first trip to the US in January there to go to A1, but I did the rounds of the all the tracks around, had a good just had a
Yeah.
good look around SoCal, and the day I went out to check out, have a look at Elsinore, it was supposed to be closed, but I didn't have a lot of time. I just thought, I just want to go and see it,
Yeah.
and I turned up out there, and there was a the gate was like half open, and there's a bunch of pros on the Super track. So I was like,
Yeah,
well, I
that's
just
cool.
stumbled across up and cool. Dylan actually followed me in his big, he was driving a big Tundra, I think, a big black
Yeah.
Tundra.
Yeah.
And I was parked close by on that, and I just said good day, and I asked if I could take a photo with the bike, because Factory Connection was there, they were working feverishly. And I remember
Yeah.
he said, "Oh, yeah, but just not too close." So they must have been working on something that he didn't
Yeah,
want
that's cool.
to. But
Yeah.
I'm not. I don't. Post. I'm not that sort of media get the scoop guy. I'm more about
Right.
the story of people. And I took a lot of photos, and that it's just that's
Yeah. That's cool that you
more for
stumbled
fun.
across it like that and they weren't even supposed to be open and then all those guys were there.
Yeah, man. Like Anderson was there, who'd like just come second at A1, and a heap of dudes. PC was there. Bar X, like it was full on.
Yeah, that's cool.
It was super cool. Yeah, because I hadn't had a chance to ever see riders of that level on a super track that close. So
Yeah.
it blew me away. Like, I've watched Aussie Nationals with obviously some world class riders. Aussie Outdoor Nationals, where you can get really close to the track,
Yeah.
and even then, that just to see him going through the transitions that close, like how close you are to practice track, and
Yeah.
like standing like right there, blew me away, man. Just didn't seem
Yeah, it's
possible,
good.
even though I've watched it on TV my whole life, or most of my life.
Yeah, and
So, yeah.
it's a lot different too when it's a practice track and there's not so much hype around it. There's no tough blocks and you really get the gist of how it actually is. It's nuts.
Yeah, that was cool, man. That was cool. Yeah, that's the way. Right on, man. We might get into so what I like to do with the show, the what I really love about it is getting into a bit of the story of the people. So
Yeah.
man, when did the motorcycling bug bite you, when you were like?
Yeah, when I was a little tyke. So, my dad always wanted to ride and race when he was growing up. His parents would never get him a dirt bike, whatever it was dangerous or whatever the situation was. So, I have an older brother and an older sister, and so when my older brother was 3 or 4, my parents got him a dirt bike, and then 4 years later, I come along and it was the dirt bike was just there, you know what I mean? So at that time he was probably on 60s, and then I was getting on his PW50 and just cruising around whatever. So yeah, it's kind of just rode for fun, honestly. I'm from a small town in Alabama and born and raised, and that's where I lived up until I moved to where I live here now in North Carolina near the race team. So yeah, I just rode for fun with my family. We obviously tried for Loretta's every year and never had much luck as an amateur or wasn't good enough or whatever it may have been. So 2005 was my first year making it, and 85 7 to 11, and then went to Loretta's, got smoked, but it was cool just being at Loretta's, you know what I mean? That kind of was always the goal for me and my family. And then didn't make it again until 2008, and I made it in 450B. Went to Loretta's again, got smoked again, but kind of the same story of, yeah, look, we're here. It's kind of doesn't really matter, you know? And then I don't know what really clicked, but I moved to Texas and started riding with Zach Mashburn. He was my riding coach, and he was working with Kyle Riegel at the time. And then that's when Riegel and his family owned the underground training facility in Kemp, Texas. So I stayed there for a few months and something clicked. I don't know what it was, whether it's just being around faster guys or what, but started getting good results at amateur nationals that year. Went to Loretta's in the four stroke class and 450B mod and ended up winning four stroke and got third, I believe, in 450B mod. So that kind of jump started, like, okay, maybe I can do this for a living type situation. The plan was to go back to Loretta's again in 2010 in the A classes. That's when they actually had like four, I think it was 250A Pro Sport, 250A, and then 450A Pro Sport and 450A. So they had four classes. But the plan was to go back. Was promised some stuff that didn't come true on some teams and stuff. So got closer to the Pro National starting, and my parents and Zach Mashburn and myself all sat down and said, "Hey, let's try to go race outdoors. And if we're not going to get support to go race something that we're not going to make money at, you know what I mean?" So went, and my dad and I loaded up, drove to Hangtown for the first Pro National. Qualified. I think I got 32nd that day. Second round was at Freestone, and I ended up, I think I went 15-12, maybe, or 15-13 in the motos for 13th overall. So that was pretty unreal of a day for me. Probably one of my most standout days, just because it was my second pro race ever, and kind of was like, wow, dude, this is me and my dad just doing it, I guess, you know what I mean? So had some opportunities later that year to fill in for JGR, and then unfortunately some other riders had higher connections with some of their title sponsors, so that stuff kind of ended up falling through. And that was kind of like my whole, I guess, career, if you want to call it. It's like there was always so close to that opportunity, but something either stood in the way or whatever. So it's just kind of, I guess, made me into the guy I am now, and it's I'm okay with it, honestly, because it's taught me to never give up on what you believe in type deal. So yeah, and then just race Supercross, motocross from 2010 until 2019, like I said. But got an opportunity. I actually went in 2016. I went in the dealership that was helping me. I got a KTM that year. Had a really good year in outdoors on a KTM, running inside the top 15 just about every moto at all the races I went to. And then going into 2017, I'm like, well, I'm really gelling with the KTM. Let's just stay on it and let's go try arena cross, just something different. You know what I mean? So went and did the first two rounds of arena cross. They went really well. I think I got fourth the first weekend. Actually, I went five the first weekend and then fourth the second weekend, but was able to win both rounds in the lights class and then 5-4 in the premier class. And then cycle trader Christina Denny actually called me because Bradley Taft got hurt, and that was their West Coast rider. So filled in for Bradley Taft on the West Coast, and then she had known that Tommy Hahn was thinking about retirement, and that was their 450 rider at the time. So it kind of worked out in my favor because Bradley obviously was able to come back for outdoors after Supercross, and then Tommy announced his retirement, and then I just rode 450 outdoors all 2017 for Christina and Cyclotrader. So, and then it's kind of crazy how it works, because if everything would have kept going as it was supposed to in arena cross, I would have been top 10 in points in the premier class, and then I wouldn't have been eligible for the lights class the following year, which is how I ended up meeting David Eller, who I work for now, that owns Phoenix, is because I was eligible for the lights class and arena cross. So, yeah, it's crazy how things work out, and here I am, five years later, still working and trying to grow and grow myself and help grow Phoenix and have a wife and a little girl now. So it's cool.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I like what I definitely like. I like, and I definitely resonate with what you say about things that you missed out on, or might have been disappointed at the time, and that, but then you learn from them, and they make you the man you are today.
Yeah, exactly.
My life story is definitely strong on that point. Yeah, man. So that's the go. So you didn't ride 250s too often then, man. So
Just
I did look
in
for your results. Yeah.
just in Supercross a bit. I never did in outdoors because I was always the bigger kid, so I'm always
Yep.
been 185 plus pounds. And then obviously I'm not gonna go to a gunfight with a knife, you know what I mean? So so I always chose the 450 just budget wise and more compatible. Yeah, that's kind of how it always is. And when I was on Cyclotrader, I actually rode 250 West. Got a top 10, so that
You got a
was
top
like
10.
the highlight
I've
of that
got that
year.
in my notes here. Yeah, I
Yeah, so that was cool.
always look up people's best results and that sort of thing. So yeah, in Oakland. Yeah.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah. In
So that was a
Oakland.
cool night. Track was gnarly. Track was really gnarly. And then I don't know if it was the following weekend or maybe the weekend before that, but it was Seattle. I was in the B group. I think it was actually the weekend before that. So I was in the B group because I obviously didn't have any points. And it was kind of the same situation as Seattle this year, where the B group was fast, and
Oh,
I
yes.
ended up qualifying fourth or fifth. So that was just going to the gate for the heat race was cool because I was second or third gate pick. You know what I mean? And then end up crashing in the main and ended up not being a good night, but that part was cool. So.
Who were you battling at Loretta's? Who was, or who else was in that sort of that, era or age
In
group, I should say.
09, in
Yeah,
09, you're saying?
your age group in Loretta's,
Yeah,
yeah.
so 09 in the four stroke class, it was myself. Malcolm Stewart got second that year. I think he crashed in the second moto. He went 1-6-1 maybe, and I think I went 2-1-4. So just edged him out.
Yeah.
Drew Yenrick was in that error in the four stroke class. Shane Durham, who is Darren's younger brother, I believe. I think Dean Wilson and those guys were a group ahead of us.
Yeah.
Justin Starling was in that group. Gannon Audette, who's retired now from racing. I'm trying to think who was in, because that all of us rode the 450 class. So I'm trying to think. I don't even really remember who was in like 250B and stuff. But yeah, I just remember that whole year it was like at all the Spring Nationals and stuff. Me and Mookie ended up together somehow. So,
Nice.
and then since then he's just skyrocketed, and I'm still here. But
Oh,
so it's pretty cool for
you've
him.
done pretty well, man. So Silver Hill, Alabama, did I get that right? Or did the Vault get
Yeah,
that
no, you
right? Because
nailed
that's
it.
where I've
Yeah,
pinched
you
that
nailed it.
ball. Obviously, I relied on the Vault for that one. What
Yeah.
was the was there much of a scene around there? Like, many
No,
tracks,
none.
much action?
No. So my parents, they had 40 acres at the time. And yeah, just my dad and some buddies built a track for me and my brother when we were little. And yeah, just over the years, it's developed. I was able to end up building a supercross track there with the help of some close friends. And yeah, so that was kind of my stomping grounds. I had everything I needed to get the job done there. Supercross track, full outdoor track. It's all still there. I actually went home like 3 weeks before Loretta's last year and rode my outdoor track and stuff. It's a pretty gnarly sand track. So it's in South Alabama, gets gnarly hot, and yeah, so there's no place like home, right? But as far as like the motocross scene there, it's not very, especially nowadays, there's hardly any moto around that area within like an hour of driving. Like you can get North Alabama and there's quite a few tracks in like Central Alabama, but right around where my parents live, there's not much.
Is there like an off-road racing scene or anything around there, or is there just like not much, not
No,
much
not
dirt
it's
bike
pretty
stuff there?
dead because it's close to the beach, so it's all like very touristy, I guess. And every like especially nowadays, dude, the price of land and everything's skyrocketing down there because of the beach and all the tourist stuff. So it's really not even, we all know how much motocross tracks make, you know what I mean? So it's not even worth it to try to start something up unless you were just needing to get rid of some money. But
It's unless you're doing it just for the love of it,
yeah, unless you're a billionaire and want to become a millionaire, right?
that's how you might, yeah, that's it. Yeah, what's the old joke? How do you become a millionaire
Yeah.
out of motocross? Yeah,
Start
start
out as
with,
a billionaire.
yeah, that's it. That's for sure. Yeah, you gotta be doing it for the love.
Yeah. I actually almost I in 20 in 2018 I almost came all over to Australia for the, I don't know if they do it anymore, but the Manji MUP 15,000.
They
Is that in
still do it.
Australia? They do?
I think it might not was it last year or this year coming? Yeah, there was some sort of problem where they couldn't run it, but yeah, it still does go.
I almost came over, but I want to say it overlapped with High Point National, so I couldn't make it, but that would have been a cool experience.
It's something that I'd like to get to. Like it's like the other side of the country for me, so it's like, yeah, it's a long way. Like it'd be easier for me to go to race in New Zealand than it would be to go
Yeah, I got you.
to Manji. You know, it's like it'd be like, you know, it's funny though, man. You guys crossing the country for you guys doesn't seem as big a deal. Like basically like the trip in probably pretty similar distance for me to go to Manji would be like for you to load up bikes and drive to California, you know, which you guys
Yeah.
do that
Yeah,
stuff
we do that all the time.
you do it all the time.
Yeah.
Whereas going from east to west over here, down here, for a lot of people it's like a lifetime trip, you know,
Yeah.
to head
Well,
west, you know, because
it's
there's
probably a
nothing in
lifetime.
between. That's why. That's
Yeah. Well, that's how it is here too. Once you get to Texas, there's nothing for a
Is it?
long
Yeah.
way. But
Because, yeah, it's sort of.
that's probably similar here though, far as like outside of the motocross supercross world, you know what I mean? Like most people I grew up with back in Alabama, they don't leave the town, you know what I mean?
They've never been west,
They
yeah.
never leave the state, so it's like this industry is just different.
Yeah, you get used to driving the distance, don't you? Because
Yeah.
you want to and you love it and that sort of thing. Like people think I'm crazy to drive 3 hours to go to a cool track to ride. You know, just
Yeah.
on a Sunday, get up
Yeah.
early and drive 3 hours. It doesn't bother me, man, because you're going somewhere you love. You know, so
Right. I
it's
can
good to do
remember
something cool.
on my 16th birthday, I went and got my driver's license. And then that following day, I actually drove to Texas, which from where my parents live was like a 12 to 14 hour drive. That's when I went to underground with the Regals and those people. So.
No, it's cool, but yeah, it's sort of the guys that come from over the west here, because it's just relatively, I mean, Australia's a small population, but the guys over west, it's like very small really, and so pretty much all the race teams and all the racing happens on the east coast,
I got you.
and riders from over there will move over here to one of the, you know, the gun riders, they'll move over here to one of the the training facilities. You know, we've sort of got a similar little thing going to what you have over
Yeah.
there. Followed the lead of what was happening in the States, and so they all sort of leave there. And there's always when the Aussie Nationals are announced and that, the guys in the West are always, you know, upset. You know, they
Yeah.
never get around over there, but the cost for all the teams to drive over there and that sort of thing, especially like diesel prices in Australia are ridiculous, man, like as well. So
it's worse just, than here.
They are, man. Yeah, they're Whoa. Worse. They're worse, man. Yeah. So,
wow, that's crazy.
It was
crazy.
funny when I was in Cali, the first time I filled up the rental, I was like, damn, this is good. And I was telling my American mates, and they're like, fucking what?
Yeah.
I was telling them what it costs here. Like, yeah, man. It's brutal.
It's by the leader there, right?
Yeah, by the leader. Yeah. But when you sort of do all the maths and that sort of thing, like usually just I've got a Holden Colorado, which is I think exactly the same as a Chevy Colorado, apart from the steering wheels on the other side. And like if it's real empty, it'll cost me around about $150 to fill the tank. So
that's crazy.
Which is about, I don't know, that's about $110, about $110 US, I guess. But yeah.
Yeah, so that's nuts.
Our cost of living is pretty crazy here. Yeah, there was actually a lot of things in California where I was like, geez, that's all right. That's good. You know, like fast foods.
Come to the East Coast, you'd really be in heaven.
Fast foods and stuff. And my friends, my American friends, none of them live in Cali. We all sort of met up there to go to A1. And they were telling me, like, geez, it's expensive here. And the few people I know in Cali are getting out, you know, want to get out. Yeah. So, you know,
it's dang near double. Out there what it is here, like gas, food, everything.
Crazy. It is crazy, man. Our politicians here certainly like to gouge us on tax and everything, but that's a whole different story, man.
Try not to get into that.
I try not to as well. Into Phoenix and became a mechanic, man. Was that, did you have a background in being a mechanic or?
Just on my own stuff. So I honestly didn't even move to North Carolina to work for Phoenix. I moved here. The team owner owns a very successful construction company.
Yep.
So I was completely ready to be done with dirt bikes and racing or whatever. Obviously I still loved it, but didn't care to really go to the race or anything like that. So I moved here, did construction on the electrical division for like 2 weeks. And then I came in like as they were finishing up a job. So we finished that job and then it was just in between like jobs, I guess. So, my old mechanic was still working here at Phoenix. Told David, he's like, yeah, like Heath knows how to work on stuff. Let's get him over here if we can. And like, at least have some help. You know what I mean? So came to the shop and I was literally just like helping clean the GNCC rig or the ATV rig or whatever, just kind of helping do whatever just to collect a paycheck at that point. You know what I mean? Just so I wasn't sitting around. And then I never left. I just ended up not taking over, but like pretty much controlling and running the off-road program.
Yeah.
Did that for 2 years, I think. And then in between all that, I was helping KP do his stuff in Arena Cross.
Yeah.
And then transitioned over to the Supercross side and mechanic for Jace Owen this past year. And then this year, just transitioned strictly into like the team manager role and try to oversee kind of everything. All of our guys pretty much take care of all their own stuff very well. So there's honestly not much that I really like. They pretty much take care of everything themselves and it's just overseeing it at that point, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And being the bad guy when I have to be.
Yeah. So sort of people management.
Yeah, exactly. So all of the guys that work with us though, we're all around similar ages and like we all hang out and just a group of buddies pretty much that get to work together. So it's cool.
Yeah, cool. And it seems like you're enjoying doing the role that you're doing now.
Yeah, I love it. I still get to ride and race Loretta's and stuff. So that's kind of like my thing every summer. It helps me put on my winter coat in the winter and then helped me drop some weight in the summer. So it's cool.
Yeah,
Gave
man.
me
So I
something
know
to look forward to. And
you won last year. You've won
yeah, I won in
two
21,
times,
and
yeah.
then 22 I Martinez won. And then last year I won again. So
Yeah.
we'll go back with the number one this year, and hopefully we can defend it and not give it away like we did in 22. So
Yeah. So that and you're in the plus 25, is that the
plus
class?
25, and then I'm 30, but I can't do the plus 30 because it's like a sportsman rule. So if you ever got
Oh
pro
yeah.
points, you can't race it. So,
Yep.
and then I just race open pro sport with the kids just to have a second class there.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So that's fun.
That'd be cool, yeah. It'd be good to yeah. Just when you get one up on a young bloke and that sort of thing, that'd be a good real satisfying. Yeah,
Exactly. So
I can imagine
the parents love it, but the kids hate it. But it's
that. Yeah,
funny.
that's you'd be able to really do you know many of those kids, do you know many of the junior
Yeah,
kids?
so Drew Adams is like the top amateur kid now, him
Yeah,
and Gavin
certainly is.
Towers.
Yeah. Yep.
And I was actually at one of Drew's first races ever because he's from Tennessee.
Yep.
So in the winter, I would do this like local arena cross series, and they would come to him, and he came on an XR50 and just a little redhead kid, and I'm a ginger as well, so I don't know where the connection was, but met them. It was actually in Cookeville, Tennessee. Met them, and then yeah, it's crazy because at Mini-O's this year, I actually rode open pro sport and 25 plus. In Supercross, I beat Drew. He got a bad start or something, and I ended up getting second. And then
Yeah.
outdoors, he beat me. But that's my joke with him right now, is we're even. I beat him and he beat me, so he can't say he's better yet, you know what I mean?
That's it.
But
Yeah,
his mom
so
was tripping at Mini-O. She says, "Oh my God, I cannot believe you and my little baby are on the same gate." I said, "Me either." To me, he's still a little 6-year-old kid.
yeah. It's crazy, man. The way some of these kids, like I've been a bit involved in some junior racing and that, and not for a while, but you see their kids now, like I'll see them on Facebook and that. There's like one of the kids I can remember, he's got his own kid now. Like, and I'm like, what the fuck? How can that be? Like, and I'll run into some of the parents at an event or something. And their kid will be there, and you're like, got to take a second look. It's like, what the hell? Like,
Yeah, it's
and
nuts,
there'd be this young bloke with a mustache, It was
man.
like, I remember like picking your 65 up. What happened? And then you
Yeah,
think it's like,
why'd you grow up?
it is, yeah, it's like 12 years. Okay, yeah, but it feels like, wasn't it just 2 years ago? So,
Yeah.
yeah.
And that's the thing, which I guess it's good, but like I don't feel old. Like I still feel 16, you know what I mean? So,
Yeah,
which I guess is good, but
it is good, man. Yeah,
yeah,
no,
it's
I
crazy.
in my mind, I don't feel old. It's just my body does sometimes. So.
Yeah.
I mean, I look after my body pretty well, but yeah, still, age does catch up with you in some ways. Yeah, man, that's for sure. That's for sure. Very good, man. Very good. So, you went over to the I saw her on Insta there to the VMX. VMX of Nations, yeah, at
Yeah, I did. So that's actually you
Fox Hill.
mentioning. No, I didn't go to Fox Hill. I went to
No. Fairly
Farley
Farley
Castle.
Castle, yeah.
Yeah. So it's great you actually mentioning your truck have been on the opposite side drive.
Yeah.
Show up and we get our rental car, and I'm like, dude, like I've wasn't like that tripped about it, but I got in, and I've never curbed hit so many curbs in my life.
It's
It's because
so
like your
weird, man.
depth perception's way
It
off.
is, man. Yeah, it's
It's
crazy.
nuts, dude. I gouged the rim, had to pay insurance on the car. I'm like, dude. And then the roads are way smaller than they are here too. So it's, yeah, that was a bad deal as far as the driving part. But that was probably like one of the most fun races I've ever been a part of. Like it was serious, but at the same time, like it's just a bunch of old gearheads that we all just love riding dirt bikes. And
Who else went over? There was a bunch of you, a bunch from the States. Was it, were you a
So it
team,
was
like a US
me,
team? Yeah.
myself, Tim Ferry, Andy Harrington, Keith Johnson, Cody Williams, And then I think the week or 2 weeks before that at Fox Hill, it was Brownie. Who went with him? Brownie, Osborne, and Bowers, I believe, and
Oh
Keith
yeah.
Johnson as well. So,
Yeah.
yeah, it was fun. It was a lot of fun, dude. We all just, it was a big riot, pretty much. Just had a ball, drank some beer, raced some dirt bikes, and
That looks
it was
like a
cool.
good time.
Yeah,
The
it is.
what did you get to ride over there?
96 CR250. That
Oh.
was the that's the newest bike you could ride, or the newest
Yeah.
year model you could ride. But dude, thing was immaculate. It was a blast.
Yeah. And that's a good bike, man.
Yeah,
Like,
it was a lot of fun, and I actually got
yeah.
lucky. So I guess the rules are you can only have two, like, newer, I guess, newer, like, newer for over there bikes, and then you gotta have a twin shock, and then like some other really old bike. And I luckily got stuck on the 96 and
You
then didn't
got
have to ride the twin
the
shock. Yeah.
newer one. Yeah, what were
But
the
the twin shocks have drum brakes and the whole nine, and it's like there's a couple hills that it's like, dude, I don't think I want drum brakes coming down this thing.
Also too, man, like so those some of those old two strokes in the drum brake era, man, like they got like less than zero engine braking as well, so like they'll just pick up speed, man, under brakes. Yeah,
That's what I think
I've ridden a few.
Keith rode the twin shock, and he's like, dude, like as soon as the brake heats up, like it's gone. Like you just go. You gotta turn and trust it. I'm like, right on, bro. Better you than me.
It still amazes me, man, how they raced them, how they were so fast on them back in the day, you know. It's crazy. I remember there's the funny story of Bob Hanna. He didn't like the disc brake when they first put it on his bike because
Because he could stop.
it was too touchy. It was too touchy. He didn't like the feeling of it. He kept the drum brake a bit longer. I was
That's funny.
like, wow, you know, that's just amazing.
You
And
put a
also,
drum brake on a kid's bike nowadays, and they wouldn't know what to
oh man, they'd be just blowing out every corner. Like,
do.
that's for sure. It's crazy, man. Crazy. Dude, what other skills and like interests and stuff do you have? What else are you into outside of dirt bikes?
I don't know if it's a skill because I ain't very good at it, but golf. I'm really into golf. I love golf. That seems to be like the kind of like the moto
It's the moto
outside of moto
go-to.
sport. Yeah. So I'm really into that. Pretty much anything outdoors. I just got a new mountain bike. I love mountain biking. So, snowboarding in the winter, it's actually cool where we live. So it gets like it doesn't really snow in the area I am, but you can go like 2 hours up in the mountains. And it's not like a ton of snow, but it gets cold enough where they can blow it. And there's some like smaller ski slopes and stuff there. So we'll go up there and snowboard in the winter and stuff. And yeah, that's about it. But golf's probably like my go-to thing outside of racing.
It's funny when I think of Carolina, I think of like just like hot and similar to Florida. But yeah, I suppose
Yeah,
like
well, in the summer it is.
it is. Yeah, so you get
Yeah, it's
big,
humid and really
really,
hot.
really big temperature swings there.
Yeah, obviously
Which,
not
yeah.
for not as long as Florida, but there's like
Yeah.
a month or 2 months here that it's brutal.
Yeah. Yeah. Sort of similar to where I am then. Yeah. Like we get you know, we at times we're like we record like some of the hottest temperatures in the world, you know,
Yeah.
but that's not for long.
Yes, same as
And
here.
then we'll also we don't get like super cold, but we'll still get, you know, we'll get to like freezing in the winter.
Yeah,
And
same as down here.
the mountains south of us, there's some snow fields and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Not a huge amount, but yeah.
Yeah, it's the worst part here is like the humidity, and like there's a quite a few little like backyard private tracks we go ride. And for some reason they seem to all be down in like little valleys and stuff. And dude, no wind will get to you and you're just down there baking. But in the middle of the summer, but yeah, it gets pretty gnarly at times.
See, moto here is a winter thing, and I think it sort of came from just the fact that there's not much water here. You know, like I know my favorite track that to go to, it closes over the middle of summer because the dam runs out. There's no water.
Yeah.
They can't water the track. They can't work the track. So they just run out of water. And water, like water on farms is, you know, the whole water thing here is a big political thing and expense and corruption. There's a lot, like water's a big commodity in Australia. So
that's California too.
Yeah. It's a big thing, but yeah, most private property tracks and that sort of thing. Yeah. They'll have a dam and that sort of thing, or a series of dams and that sort of thing too.
Crazy. You guys are opposite of us, right? Seasons.
Yeah. Yep.
Like winter there, summer here, right?
Yeah. The opposite. Yeah. So we're just heading into, we're into the leaves are starting to fall now, man. So
yeah, I was raking leaves
yesterday. So
that's the
story here. We're starting to get a bit colder. You know, like I got a jacket on. That's I've only had them on for a couple of days. You know, it's starting to turn a little bit then. So
yeah, starting to warm up here. Trees are blooming and.
Yeah,
temperatures are rising, so it's like actually like 80, 85 the other day. So,
yeah,
pretty warm for this early.
Nice, yeah, that's the game, man. What skills, man, would you like to have that you don't have?
Golf,
just be a better golfer.
I wish I could be like a that would be like the ultimate career for me as like a PGA player. But other than that, honestly. I don't know. I went boxing's pretty cool to me. I was going to like kickboxing thing for a while, but I don't want to like obviously get in a ring. But if I was good at it, then sign me up. I don't know. I love heavy equipment, so that's probably like my. If I didn't have the job I have now, I think I'd be into heavy equipment operating and stuff. I grew up like building my own tracks and. Maintaining my own tracks and stuff back in Bama. So I'm really into that. Every time I have an opportunity to groom or work on a track here, I jump on it if I can. So that stuff's super intriguing to me.
Yeah, I can understand that. Yeah, I've never had a chance to do much in like I've probably driven a lot of things just very briefly, but I've never really had a chance to get my teeth into it and that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. Like I think that goes back to like being a little boy, doesn't it? Just like
exactly.
Cool.
You're just in the sandbox.
You're still in the sand. Yeah, man. It's like this is cool. Like, I remember we went on we were family holiday. We were down at one of the beaches. I can't remember which one. And I think it might have been when we were over in Adelaide. And we went to this beach, and there was a section closed, and there was dudes out there, and they were like digging sand and loading sand off the dunes into trucks to cut it somewhere. And I was like, wow, these guys have got the job. Like that's like every little that's like every little boy's dream. They're literally like look like if you got a picture of a sand pit and just grew everything to adult size and real life size. And it was all
so cool.
That was cool. I was like, wow, these guys, they're living the life. Yeah, just
and they were probably hating every minute of it.
They would have been hating every minute of it. But yeah, but I thought it was cool though. Yeah,
that's that is sweet.
That's for sure, man. Nah, cool. Hey, dude, it's time for an ad read and. The ad read we're going to do ties in perfectly with Phoenix Honda because you guys run in gut seats.
Yeah, we are.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Andy and those guys are unbelievable at guts. They do a lot of seat covers for us. We have obviously Supercross, Motocross, Arena Cross, the GNCC side. And then we also have the ATV side that Yamaha supported. So they do the whole team across the board and Andy and those guys are unbelievable at what they do and some of the best product out there, I believe. So it's cool. They got the new seat foams and they're willing to help the ATV guys with lowered seats and pretty much whatever we need. Those guys are on top of it. So it's cool.
Yeah, man, you guys are a great example of it. So, you know, like If you want to be like Kyle Peters, man, crushing arena cross, you need a gut seat, man. I even ATV GNCC ATV seats. It can't get much more hardcore on a seat than that, can it? Like that's as hardcore as it gets. And guts are out there just crushing it with that. Man, Dylan Ferrandis. And as well as you guys, man, Factory Husky, Mookie, your old amateur rider, Mookie's out there. Hopefully he's crushing it soon. But when Mookie Fever is engaged, man, it is on a gut seat. Kenny Chiz, when Chiz is chizzing, I got the Chiz jersey behind me.
Yeah, see that? That's an OG Chiz jersey.
Yeah, that's an actual team Chiz one. So. Hard to get jerseys in Australia, man. So I was actually lucky I got that one sent over. So
yeah, there you go.
That's it. Also, AEO KDM, Next Level KDM Racing, PRMX Kawasaki. We have got Aaron Tanti. Hopefully he's back soon. And Moto Concepts Honda, all on gut seats. And countless privateers as well. Even my old ass sits on a gut seat.
There you go.
If you've got a vintage bike, they do some really nice vintage seats. You can get I got a purple guts cover made for my 96 Kawasaki. That looks fantastic. I might do some pics of that for Andy to post up on Instagram, actually.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, so they are sponsoring the Outside Gate. I'm very, very pleased about that. Gutsracing.com. is a real easy one to remember, gutsracing.com. And I've been saying, it's lucky that it's lucky that they're Californian and they come up with the ultra trick part of Greg's ultra trick seats, because imagine if they were an Australian brand, they'd be called like Greg's Fair Dinkum seats or something like that. They just wouldn't have sounded right, you know. What about if Jamie Gregg was from Alabama, what would they called it?
Dude, I really did something redneck. I can tell you that. It'd be made out of cowhide or something.
That's it. So yeah, that's it. You know, if you got to get onto the old Cali language and get one of those Gregg's Ultra Chick seats. I'll just say it again: gutsracing.com. Cool, man. Cool. It's worked out great, man. Since Andy came on board, I think nearly every guest has been running gut seats, but that's just speaks for itself anyway.
They do
it?
A lot of seat covers. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I never even like really realized it, I guess, until working here at Phoenix. It's like, dude, these guys sew together some seats. It's nuts.
They do, man. You know, like I when Andy came on board, it's only, you know, I don't know, about three, four episodes ago. And I looked up, you know, I knew a few teams that he was doing, but I looked up, you know, for the ad reads and for what I've just been doing, the different teams that use it. And I was like, wow, these guys do a lot. Yeah. It's way more than I thought.
It's and crazy.
Then, you know, even they've even sewed up got some Australian Aussie nationals teams are using them as well. And I've seen also on some MXGP bikes. So yeah,
I never realized all the teams until you just read off the list. That's nuts.
Yeah, it is. It's crazy, isn't it? Cool, man.
Hey, speaking of Tanti, I know you guys saw the video of him in the Whoops preseason.
Yeah. Yeah.
My man gained speed with his feet off the pegs.
Brutal. Wow. Brutal, man. Yeah, like
crazy.
It was crushing for Aussies too. Like he's a good, really good story, man. Like he went, he's actually like, I forget what trade he has, but he went to trade school and he's like qualified tradesman. What he is. I think, he's a carpenter, plumber, he's something like that. He's trade qualified. He actually did that, as like a fallback plan and then ended up winning, you know, end up winning the Aussie Nationals. And, you know, yeah, just a really good story. And he's a really, just a really nice guy, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we really, we're all really pumped for him to head over there. And then straight away, man, like before it even started, that's what happened. And then, yeah.
He's cracking down on him.
Yeah, he's, you know. But, like, I guess, man, like you were saying earlier, the adversity, you know, it builds people into the who they are, man.
Yeah, that's why that the trade that he has, that's why he wants to go so fast on a dirt bike. He's like, yeah, that ain't for me.
Yeah, yeah.
If I twist this right grip, I can stay away from that for a little bit longer.
Man, he's had some taste of the real world, huh? So
he's exactly.
If I can get paid doing this, you know, because if in Australia, man, there's a very small amount of people that are sort of full time moto.
Yeah. You know?
I wouldn't try and guess, but you know, it'd be in comparison to the US, it's a small amount of people. You know, we have guys that it's not that unlikely for a guy to get a top five who's working Monday to Friday full time job. You know, so
yeah.
It
well, there's quite a few that come over here that are phenomenal, though.
Yeah. No, it It is cool. I'm actually going to this weekend, going to round two of the Aussie Nationals. So it's
it. Oh, nice.
Close by me, or relatively close by me. So
yeah,
that'll
cool.
be that'll be cool to see, man. Yeah. Cool, man. I like to ask a few just sort of random, different questions.
Yeah.
As we get towards the end of the show, just some fun stuff. Let's have a look and see what we will ask. What we ask Heath Harrison, dude, what's on your bucket list? Either moto stuff or just life stuff?
Moto stuff. I'd like to come to Lomel, potentially race Lomel. That would be kind of like top the bucket list, but I would like to at least come watch it. Growing up in the sand, it's kind of the GP that sticks out to me. That's probably one of the most far as in the moto stuff. And then just normal life bucket list would probably like go on a vacation like Bora Bora or something like that, into one of like one of the little cottages or whatever they are that's out on the water, you know?
Yeah.
That's like normal life bucket list there. So
yeah, cool. Cool. I like it, man. I like it.
Yeah.
It when it takes someone a little while to think of what's on the bucket list, it usually means that you're pretty satisfied in life, man. So that's
exactly. And that's like the Bora Bora thing. Like that's may never happen. And I'm okay if it doesn't, but that's one thing that you see on Instagram or whatever. It's like, wow, that's pretty unreal how that looks. But
I'll see that
social media too. And everything looks better on social media. So
I'll show my wife a photo or something like that because she loves that sort of stuff. And my running joke is, geez, that looks like a shit spot, doesn't it? Being sarcastic, of course, dude, what else have we got here? Music, man. What sort of music are you into?
Mainly rap. I'm not into like the new kind of rap, I guess, but like old Lil Wayne, Eminem, kind of like my generation growing up, turning 16, getting a truck with subs and all that kind of stuff.
2000s rap sort of stuff.
Yeah. And then if I'm just cruising country, but honestly, I can drive 6, 7, 8 hours and never turn the radio on. So
really? Wow.
Yeah. I'm kind of like, especially after a race, whatever, just drive home and just think about the race or whatever and what I need to do that week. And kind of just like the peace and quiet sometimes. But if I'm going out to a club or something, for sure, like somewhere that's rap, not necessarily a country bar by no means.
Yeah. So I suppose, North Carolina, is there any sort of music scene there, like live music scene?
I mean, there's like country artists that come here. There's like PNC Pavilion, which is at like the University of Charlotte's college. So there's like a quite a few country artists come here. I'm actually going to, I might get this wrong, but I think a Morgan Wallen concert, maybe.
Oh
I don't know.
yeah,
I'm going to some concert with my
yeah.
wife and her sister and her sister's husband. I really don't even know when, but here in the next few months. So that'll be fun. Yeah, like country, live country music's actually a blast. Like Nashville for the Supercross, like that's always a ball. Maybe it's just because there's so many people and like all the moto industries there, so it makes it a lot of fun. But yeah, no, live, if it's like live music, then probably country. Because I actually went, I think last year to in Indy, there was a 50 Cent concert, and I went to, and it's, far as like live rap, it doesn't match up to country for sure. So for me, at least.
If you, the old, good old question, if you had like one album to listen to for the rest of your life, do you know what that album would be?
Probably the Carter Five.
I don't know that, man. Oh, forgive me. I'm old school as shit with
Yeah,
music.
that's Lil Wayne.
Is it Lil Wayne? Cool, man. Yeah, I'm not even across Lil Wayne that much. Like I like my old school rap. Like my fa Ice Cube's my favorite. I love Cube, all that sort of thing. NWA, Cube, even I even think of like Tupac as a bit new. It's like, well, I'm very much like, yeah, Cube, I think, yeah, Cube is the
You're real old school then.
he's the main man. Yeah. Tupac and Biggie, I like, and that, and I like Eminem. I think everyone likes Eminem. Yeah, it's very good. But cool, man, cool. All right, man. Couple of fun things I do to close off the show, man. Give me your best Aussie accent.
Man, hold on. So you know Josh Strang and those boys, huh? Angus
Yeah,
Reardon and all
well,
them.
I don't know him personally, but I certainly know him,
Yeah,
yeah.
so they actually all they live like an hour from here and actually rode with Strang today. But yeah, no, so we always joke around with those guys and stuff and like an Aussie accent, but it's like, oh, all right, mate, let's get this moto going. Let's what are we gonna do today?
Hey, you're not too bad.
So
You're not too bad there. Yeah. Is Lindo still riding, still practicing with Strangy? Lyndon Snodgrass?
They're that dude's a nut, isn't he?
Lyndon Snodgrass is one of those little kids I was telling you about that I used to see riding little bikes who grew
Yeah,
up. So
they're still little kids at heart.
He's a
Him and
good kid, man. I mean, geez, he's probably like 25 now. I don't know, but he still seems like a kid. I remember riding with just his dad and his mum were both pretty good off-road riders. So
Really?
I mean, his mum was fast. Yeah,
That's crazy.
there's no she was an off-road racer as well. So he just grew up, and where he lives and that sort of thing. He grew
Yeah,
up in
Mason Siemens, he's actually out on the West Coast now. He got a West Coast off-road deal. So, but all last year and the year before that, he was here in North Carolina with those guys as well. So.
Well, it's funny that there's a real something in the water out in the Yarra Valley around that time, because that's like Yarra Valley's where those boys will come from. Daniel Sanders, who's like riding Dakar and all that now, Lindo and Mace all grew up like probably within 20 minutes of each other. So
Really? That's cool.
and where they grew up, man, is like trail riding heaven. Like, you could run like I mean, this we wouldn't be allowed to here, but you could run like an unbelievable GNCC where they grew up, basically. You're like,
Well, I think don't they have like a Australian like GNCC series or something now?
they cranked it up for the first time last year. And I think, a bunch of guys have got together to get it going. And I don't know heaps about it. I think it went okay last year. It's sort of rivaling, I guess, a bit of our, we just have one major off-road series. So just the Australian Off-Road Championships, which is a lot of, they do like mixed format. So there's sometimes it's like a sprint enduro. sometimes it's just like just a point to point cross country GNCC style, that sort of thing. And there's always a lot of complaints about how good that series is, you know. So
like
the GNCC guys wanted to get something where it was all long format, you know, and less of just the sprint stuff. I haven't heard heaps about it for this year, but, you know, it's very, very hard to get new projects like that off the ground in Australia. So I really hope they get it going because I love the long format stuff, man. Like, you know.
Yeah, same. It's hard to get new stuff going here too as well because they do. There's a couple different promoters that do like the sprint enduro stuff here now.
Yeah.
But it's just so tough because they're only 5, 6, 7 years old, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's like, it's so hard to get it as big as like GNCC because that's ran by MX Sports who runs amateur motocross, who runs pro motocross, and now they're joined with Supercross. It's like, chance you're competing with that.
Juggernaut. So. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But I suppose it all starts from somewhere, man. You know, like, MX Sports started with one race, man. They started with the Blackwater 100, one crazy race, you know. That was Davey's dad or granddad. I forget the actual story.
I believe.
Yeah, it started the Blackwater 100, and then it just grew.
That and Loretta's and everything.
Yeah. It's crazy, man. Crazy. Cool, man. Cool. All right, man. To close out the show, man, my outro, I do a bit of Kenny Rogers for the outro, man. I always say to people, if you know the words, you're welcome to join in. But there's no shame if you don't, because most people don't. All right, so I'll do a bit of Kenny. So I handed him my bottle, and he drank down my last swallow. Then he bummed a cigarette and asked me for a light. And the night got deathly quiet, and his face lost all expression. Said, if you're going to play the game, boy, you got to learn to play it right. You got to know when to hold 'em, know when to fold 'em, know when to walk away, know when to run. You never count your money. When you're sitting at the table, there'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done. Thanks, Heath. Thank you very much for your time, man, and good luck for all your riders rest of the season for GNCC, for outdoors. Hope Dylan's well very soon. And cheers and thanks you very much for your time.
Yeah, cheers. Thanks for having me on, and I might have to get you over to Nashville for some of that singing right there.
Man. Honestly, man, it's just a funny thing, man. Like, I'm a dude who just likes to sing. I'm not a singer. Yeah. I just like singing. You know, get me at a karaoke bar. I'm all about it.
Yeah, there you go.
But the very first show, I organized my intro and everything. I had an intro song that I've had to like drop because of YouTube stuff and that.
Yeah.
Anyway, and I got right to doing that first recording. And I was like, fuck, I don't have an outro. And then I was like, I'll just sing a song that I know the words to. And then it just became a bit of a fun thing. Sometimes people join in. It's a bit of a laugh. And yeah, it's just one of those things. That, like I say, I reckon I'll get someone on at some stage who's a big country fan, and they'll like take over and rip out the chorus. And then I'll be like, all right, now we'll change the song, maybe.
So, yeah, there you go.
Just a fun thing. Cheers, man. Thank you very much.
Cheers. Thank you. Have a good day.
Cheers, man. Bye.
See ya.